All right, good afternoon. This is a meeting of the State Title Setting Review Board. The date is January 6, 2016. The time is 1:30 p.m. We're meeting in the Aspen Room at the Secretary of State's Office, 1700 Broadway. On the agenda today, we have three items. One is a rehearing and two are new hearings. The first item on the agenda today is I'm Suzanne Steyert. I didn't bring my script, so just so off. I'm Suzanne Steyert. I'm the Deputy Secretary of State, serving on the title board today. To my right is Fred Yarger from the Solicitor General's Office on behalf of Attorney General Cynthia Coffin. And to my left is Sharon Ebanks from Office of Legislative Legal, serving for Dan Carton. First item on the agenda is local governance, which is 2015-2016, number 40. This is a rehearing. Are the proponents present? And if so, could you please come to the microphone and introduce yourselves for the record? Or council just representing that they're here. We just need on the record that they're present.
Thank you. I'm Elizabeth Como, counsel for the proponents who are present, Jeffrey Dean Roybal and Marilee Matzo.
All right. Thank you. And we had two rehearings filed on this matter. The first was filed by attorney for petitioner. Is it Mr. Leonhardt?
Hi.
Yeah.
Yes, Stephen Leonhardt.
Oh, he's going first. Okay. Mr. Kaufman.
Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Richard C. Kaufman, and I'm here on behalf of Mr. Dempsey and Ms. Brantley on this motion for rehearing. I know you've heard some of these arguments before, so I'm not going to go. I don't have 3 hours of intense argument, but I think on the single subject issue, there really is a problem with initiative number 40. And specifically, what I would like to point out is, and this is not in the title, but it is a separate subject, and it's more than just an interpretation of what this will do, but in essence, they are amending the Constitution of the United States by saying that the local laws are supreme over, including federal law and treaties. They are not only amending the Constitution, the treaty provisions, and how the treaties apply. That is a separate subject that it's not even mentioned in the initiative, and it is not mentioned anywhere in the title. But that is exactly what they are doing by this. Now, they will argue, I think, I've tried to fathom what their argument will be, that, well, all these rights existed prior to the Constitution. Well, I don't think that matters. The U.S. Constitution was adopted by the states in 1789. It had provisions of congressional power under Article 1. I cited those in my brief. It basically gives local government control over that. That is an amendment to the U.S. Constitution. There's nothing in this measure that discusses that.
Let me just stop you there, because that issue was raised in the briefing when this was initially submitted as number 2013-2014, number 75. And I mean, the court, in finding that it was a single subject, didn't rule, but the argument was presented that the types of things that you're talking about, this federal preemption, that the title board, neither the court nor the title board may interpret a measure or construe its future legal effects. And so, I'm not sure that that's something that the board can consider, because it's, as you said, it doesn't appear in the title, it's not in the text, it's a future legal effect.
I agree that is the effect, but that is also a subject. And I think in the briefing, I went through the briefing on 75 from, I believe, last year, and I don't think it was brought up in just the straight sense of preempting federal law and international law and treaties and all that, but I don't think it was as in-depth as citing to specific places in the Constitution. I mean, this is what it does. And even though that's what it does, that means it is a subject that is included in this initiative, and therefore it is a separate subject. Amending the Constitution is not local government. And so I would ask the board on that grounds to change your decision and find that there are more than a single subject and deny the title on this measure.
Anybody else on the board have questions regarding single subject?
If I could just clarify, sure. Mr. Kaufman, in terms of the language that we're discussing right now, which I believe is the subsection 3 of the provision,
right.
That other than a few what I would call fairly minor changes, I mean, the text of 40, subsection 3, is almost identical to the text of subsection 3 of number 75. The title was upheld. And so I'm just curious why, if the Supreme Court upheld the title previously on 75, why now with the same language should we find that it doesn't constitute a single subject?
Because as I mentioned a moment ago, I believe after reading the briefs, and I think as Ms. Sterrett just mentioned, that you know the court doesn't issue an opinion. They just say that the title's okay. I'm not sure it was argued in exactly the way I'm doing it now. Okay. That, you know, there was just this straight, well, it's preemption, which of federal law, and, you know, in essence, the court would interpret it later. And I understand that that would be an effect. But in essence, when I look at it some more, I think it's a separate subject.
Okay. Thank you.
And I would ask the board to consider that.
Okay. Thank you.
On the issue of single subject, did you wish to be heard on single subject?
Yes.
Okay.
I do not have much to add on the single subject issue. I generally agree with the arguments by Mr. Kaufman. And I would just add, I have with me a copy of the petitioner's opening brief from the appeal on Initiative 75 last time around, and clearly did not raise the issue of local governments preempting federal and international laws that he's raising now. The single subject arguments were with regard to expanded authority of local governments and the reallocation of government authority and restriction on preemption. And so I believe the issue that's being raised today was not one that was raised by the petitioners, who were different parties than those who filed the motions for rehearing today, and is a serious issue that's worthy of consideration by the board. That's all I have to add on the single subject issue. Thank you.
It was raised in the Attorney General's brief. Right. Did you look at that brief?
I haven't looked at it since it came up today, but I think we have that one.
That's where I was reading from. The federal preemption argument was raised in the Attorney General's brief to the Supreme Court. Okay.
With the Attorney General arguing that it was not a separate subject.
Right. Arguing on behalf of the title board who had set title. So, any questions? All right. The petitioners have any comment?
Yes. If it pleased the board, this doesn't create a regimen where local individuals are becoming the ruler of the universe. What we're doing is providing a way for the exercise of the inherent and inalienable right of local community self-government. If the provisions of subsection 2 are fulfilled and the provisions of subsection 3, then the local enactment protecting the rights of people where they live cannot be preempted. It doesn't amend the U.S. Constitution. It does pose a case of first impression, but one that this body cannot address. And that case of first impression is whether the judicial doctrine of corporate rights and personhood that is now part of the U.S. Constitution's interpretation is going to trump or preempt the exercise of an inherent and inalienable right protected by the Ninth Amendment and the 28th section of Article II, the State Bill of Rights. That's a question of first impression. It's not an amendment to the Constitution of the United States.
Any questions by the board?
No.
Right, no.
Thank you.
Right, thanks. Is there anybody else who wishes to speak on this issue related to whether this is a single subject? Okay. All right. Discussion by the board?
I think at this point, in regard to the single subject issue, I would deny both motions for rehearing on that ground. I don't see this provision amending the U.S. Constitution. I see this provision as establishing, at least theoretically, the status of the local laws adopted, enacted, pursuant to this initiative, if it was to become law, in terms of state law, federal law, and international law. Whether or not this provision would be given effect, can't say. And I don't think we're in a, that's our job. To me, it relates to the enactment of local laws pursuant to sort of this idea of self-government. And to me, that's the single subject. I'm comfortable with that.
And for the reasons I stated in the brief and then the court's final determination that it was a single subject, I think that's pretty much the law of the case, and I'm not sure I have heard anything that could or would make me change my mind.
Yeah, I agree, and whatever the validity of that provision, we do set it forth in the title, explaining that the initiative attempts to say that local laws passed under this initiative will not be subject to federal preemption. Again, I don't know whether that tries to amend the United States Constitution or if it would have any effect, but that is stated in the title. I think it's fairly encompassed within the single subject.
All right. I think we can just move to the setting and then have our motion at the end.
Yes.
Okay. So the next issue is the setting of title, and I think, Mr. Kaufman, you had some comments on the title language.
Are you speaking, Madam Chair, to the confusion, misleading issues? Is that what you're?
Yes, and speaking? I didn't know if you had specific suggestions that you wanted to make
with regard to the.
Okay.
I mean, you have the brief, and I think
I do.
We've already gone over much of this, so.
Okay.
Okay.
And Mr. Leonhardt, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Our motion for rehearing raised two main issues with regard to the language in the title that was set last month. Both of the issues really go to material features of Initiative 40 that were omitted from the title. First of all, the broad authorization in the text of the initiative for prohibitions and other means deemed necessary to secure the rights of natural persons and local communities in nature. Due to this omission, the title unfairly implies that the measure would only restrict corporations and business entities in that it describes local government's prohibitive powers only in relation to business entities. But in fact, the initiative would authorize prohibitions without limit. So local governments would be authorized to prohibit not only business activities, but also to prohibit, for example, activities that one local government may conduct within the boundaries of another. Local governments in Colorado frequently do interact in this way, and for example, of particular concern to my client, many communities obtain their water supplies from outside their own boundaries, for example, Denver and Colorado Springs and others from the western slope. Greeley obtains much of its water supply from Larimer County, Aurora from several locations, including some of the counties in the Arkansas River Valley and southeastern Colorado. We believe that's a material omission, and in a minute I'll make a few suggestions on the title language. But the title also omits a second material feature of Initiative 40, the limitation in subsection 3, or the proviso, stating that local laws shall not be subject to preemption or nullification, provided that such local laws do not restrict fundamental rights of natural persons, local communities, or nature secured by local, state, or federal constitutions or by international law, and that such local laws do not weaken protections for natural persons, local communities, or nature provided by state, federal, or international law. So due to this omission, the title unfairly implies that the initiative's exemption of such local laws from preemption or nullification is an absolute exemption. Also, I would just point out that the phrase "such local laws" in the last clause of the title is unclear and ambiguous. So a few suggestions on the title language.
Sure.
And I'm afraid I don't have numbered lines on the title that was set, but would suggest that the phrase including the power to enact laws.
Right, line 3.
So while we're in, yeah, there we go. Yeah. In line 3, after to enact laws, I'd suggest inserting and prohibitions. And then to say to establish, comma, protect, and secure rights of natural persons, et cetera.
Establish, what else?
Establish, comma, protect, and secure. And then in the last clause of the title, beginning in line 6 with "and declaring," first of all, I'm not sure that declaring is the best word there. I think it does more than just declare, and would suggest saying "and exempting" such local laws, and instead of "are not subject to," let's say exempting such local laws from preemption or nullification. And then to reflect the lengthy proviso at the end of the initiative, after any federal, state, or international laws, I would insert "if the local laws do not restrict fundamental rights or weaken legal protections for natural persons, comma, their local communities, or nature." I believe those modifications to the title would reasonably address the two main points that we made in our motion for rehearing. Okay.
Mr. Kaufman, do you have any comments on that language?
No.
Okay. All right. Let me ask the petitioner if you have any comments or objections to what he's proposing, and then we'll have our discussion.
I would just point out that at the end of line 7, before the text inserted just now, the actual measure has the singular word "law" rather than "laws." I think that embraces both constitutional and statutory law. That's just a minor edit, but it may be significant. And same question with legal protections. You might just want to take protections out, I mean, legal out, or add constitutional. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Legal protections is correct. Constitutional, fundamental rights is correct. Let me double check. Then the only other question is the clarity of it in terms of, will people know what a yes or no vote will mean after they read it? And I wondered if that was part of your reasoning last time when this was discussed. May I comment on the other point that was made just now about intergovernmental conflicts?
That was made when?
He was talking about local governments being serviced by other governmental bodies, and he had a concern about that.
In the language of the
Not
measure?
In the language, but in his
in the
argument regarding his objection number one, that Mr. Leonard was talking about.
So you mean going back to single subject?
Going back to...
Go ahead.
I just wanted to comment that the measure is addressed to the problem of corporate rights and protections interfering with the exercise of the right of local self-government. And it doesn't address, it doesn't invite the local community to address any interference with the local right of self-government by another governmental body.
All right, thank you. All right, comments from the board on the suggested language?
Well, I might need some clarification if I understand the argument correctly about the proposed changes on lines 3 and 4, because I'm not sure that prohibitions would be enacted. Laws might be enacted that include prohibitions, and so I think we might need to tweak that. But if I understand the argument, that so these laws can be enacted, and to secure these rights, they can use prohibitions and other means, and that's applicable to everyone. The language in the measure, as I understand it, including measures to establish, define, alter, or eliminate competing rights, powers, privileges, immunities, duties of corporations, that's one example of the types of prohibitions that might be enacted against a particular class, but that's not exclusive. And so I'm a little uncomfortable that if we go with the proposed changes perhaps tweaked a little bit on lines 3 and 4, then our statement about the power to define or eliminate the rights and powers of corporations perhaps is given the wrong emphasis, because really we might include it as an example of the types of laws which may include prohibitions. But right now the way we've got it as two separate items, and I'm not sure that's quite correct.
No, I didn't think we probably needed the and prohibition, since that's, you know, can be included in a law. I mean, lots of laws prohibit activity.
Right. I mean, we could go along the lines of something like to enact laws to establish, protect, and secure rights of natural persons,
right,
communities, and nature, which may include the definition or elimination of rights and powers of corporations.
Or you could say
which may include but not limit to, but I don't much care for that. But
yeah.
Well, I don't have a problem with secure. I mean, I suppose we could just take out and prohibitions. And
that's what I was thinking, is you could just eliminate the term and prohibitions. I think that's fairly captured by the central feature, I think, perhaps, is that this initiative would either create or make clear the power to define or eliminate the rights of corporations or business entities, and I think that's fairly captured. I don't think prohibition is necessary, because I think it's implicit in the notion of a law that can either create rights or prohibit conduct.
I did prefer the language and exempting, because I think that's probably correct. It does more than declare something.
And I think that's fine. And my recollection on that issue is that we discussed whether or not we should include the exceptions in the title at our initial meeting on this. And although I don't know that we talked about it in quite as much detail, we, I think, maybe discussed if you added except in certain circumstances or situations, something like that.
Right.
And so whether or not we want to change our position on that, I think it may be difficult for voters in general to really know what's at issue with that much detail. I don't know that I'm against adding something. I don't know if we need to do it to this detail or something more generic to recognize that there are some exceptions.
To simplify, what we could do is remove the language restrict fundamental rights. Just say, if the local laws do not weaken legal protections for natural persons, their local communities, or nature. And the reason I say that is a fundamental right is a legal protection, I think. But then again, there are two provisions here, creating an exemption, and then it seems odd to call out just one specifically. I would just leave it as is, because the proponent of the initiative didn't object to this language. And it certainly is within the four corners of the proposal and explains what it does.
Yeah, I mean, my problem is I'm hesitant to do anything creative, because the court has already approved the first language. If this is something that the, you know, proponents and opponents don't object to, then I don't have a problem, you know, making some amendments. And, you know, like I said, I prefer exempting to declaring, but I'm a little hesitant to do much beyond what.
So would you decline to adopt the changes on 7 and 9?
I just think if we're going to adopt them, we should just adopt it the way it's
That's
written,
what I was getting
basically.
At, too. Yeah, I agree.
I'm not really one way or the other on whether it needs to be there.
I mean, first of all, understanding that there's some safety with just sticking with the language tracks the ballot title that was approved by the court on 75. I don't think that keeps us from making modifications if we think to do so makes the title better and explain it more, make it more accurate. So I think I'm fine with the language on 6 through 9. I'm also okay with the changes on 3 and 4, but I still raise the issue of whether or not it's now correct in the way it's drafted, because it makes it sound like the power to define or eliminate the rights and powers of corporations is one whole item, whereas really that's an example of, it's a subset of the power to enact laws to establish, protect, and secure, rather than a separate and distinct power. And I think the way it's written right now perhaps gives at least the inference that that's a separate power than the first, that there's two different powers, and I'm not sure that that's correct.
Do the opponents or proponents want to comment on that? if we were to remove the language regarding the rights and powers of corporations or business entities. It would essentially, I think, be to eliminate the section that indicates that there's some separate right. So, yeah, going down, we would just essentially strike out to, right?
I think that's one option.
Yeah.
I would object to that, I think. I think it's a significant part of this measure that what it's expressly stating is that local communities have the power to, I think, restrict what corporations can do. I think that's a central feature.
Okay, and I'm fine with it the way it is, so. So it's a consensus of the board, 7 through the changes suggested by the opponent on what was 7 through 9 and is now 6 through 8.
Can we have them back, please? And as an alternative, I might suggest on line 4, where it says, and the power to define at the end of the line, that perhaps we change that, which includes the power to define or eliminate. So it'd be a comma, or that include.
Yeah, that includes the power.
That includes the power to eliminate the idea that there's two different powers.
Yeah, I think that's good.
I would be comfortable with that.
Leaves it as a central feature, but
I think just grammatically, maybe it'd be better to say including.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think that's a positive change.
Is that all right?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I move the changes as reflected on the screen.
Actually, I think our motion should be, because we're dealing with
motions. Oh, right.
It'll be a rehearing. Let me read it first, and then we'll make a global motion. An amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning a right to local self-government and in connection therewith declaring that the people have an inherent right to local self-government in counties and municipalities, including the power to enact laws to establish, protect, and secure rights of natural persons, communities, and nature, including the power to define or eliminate the rights and powers of corporations or business entities to prevent them from interfering with those rights and exempting such local laws from preemption or nullification by any federal, state, or international law if the local laws do not restrict fundamental rights or weaken legal protections for natural persons, their local communities, or nature.
You want to try again?
It's a motion to deny the rehearing, except for...
Well, yeah, I was actually... I'm sorry to do this, but we have two including clauses in a row, which I find confusing. I'd say the second should be as well as the power, rather than including.
On line 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Can I make a motion?
Sure, go ahead.
I suppose the motion is to grant rehearing in part as reflected on the screen and deny rehearing in all other respects.
Second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, it's unanimous. And that takes us to... Initiative 2015-2016, number 60, which is food store license. Mr. Rogers.
Ready? Afternoon, board. Madam Chair, Trey Rogers representing the proponents of initiatives, proposed initiatives 60 and 61. Blake Harrison and Grayson Robinson are here in the room. They've completed their affidavits this afternoon. These two initiatives are substantially identical to initiatives 51 and 52, with the exception of the removal from those two initiatives of one clause concerning distance from schools. for that reason, out of respect for the process rendered on 51 and 52, and so as not to waste everyone's time, while we do, we would certainly like to see some changes to the staff draft, we're not going to re-debate those issues today and would suggest adoption of the staff draft.
And the issue that you've indicated, what is the effect of the change? So for the record, so those sure. those distance requirements will continue to exist, essentially?
Right. So 50 and 51 would have excluded food store license holders from the minimum distance from schools requirement currently in statute. 60 and 61 do not include that exemption. So in other words, food store licensees would be subject to that distance from schools requirement.
Okay.
So as I understand it, this version is the version that does not get rid of 3.2 licenses.
60 does not get rid of 3.2 licenses.
Right.
That's right.
And so what we have, what this would do is it would say, food store, you are free to apply for a license to sell full strength beer and wine. But if you do so and you violate the distance restriction law, that wouldn't be a valid license. But if you apply and you have a 3.2 and you don't violate that, you can convert into a full-strength beer and wine license. Is that right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
So 3.2 licensees are not subject to a distance from schools requirement. So if a 3.2 vendor were operating within 500 feet of a school, they would presumably not be eligible to convert to a food store license.
Right.
Is that?
Yeah, I think that's maybe a better way of saying what I was trying to say, which is it would be illogical to try to apply for something that you weren't eligible for. Okay, I understand. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Let's take up the – is there anyone here who wishes to speak on this issue? Let's take up the single subject first. And for purposes of the record, I think we can incorporate the board's comments on proposed initiative 2015-2016 number 51, which was the counterpart to this a few weeks ago. Since the only change we've just talked about. So for those purposes, I would just incorporate those discussions. And then if the board has anything further.
No? I think the measure constitutes a single subject, and I move that we proceed to set a title for number 60.
I second.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So that moves us to the title itself and the change that we have between 60 and 51, when we set 51, we also had the language which would have come right after 3.2 beer to apply to become a food store license. Then we had some language that said, and if granted to sell full strength beer and wine regardless of the food store's proximity to a school. That has been stricken. Other than that, it's the same question that we set on 51, except that 25 is spelled out instead of numerical.
And we can change that. I think it's been our practice to have it numerically.
Right.
Rather than spelled
so
out.
We can go back to numeric on that. And then is there anyone who wishes to speak on the language? And I think we've heard from Mr. Rogers that you prefer to just adopt the staff draft at this point.
That's our preference.
Okay. Then comments from the board.
Well, I'm glad you incorporated our comments from our previous meeting because I was ready to make some of those arguments again, at least in terms of the terminology of the single subject statement, and that saves me from doing that. But it is so noted okay. that I do object to that language for the reasons I previously discussed. I think the only other thing I would move the change on line 4 and 5 in terms of removing the words and putting in the 25%.
Okay.
You made a motion?
I made a motion.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right.
And then I don't have any other changes, so I'm ready to move adoption if the rest of the board is ready.
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. So then I move for the adoption of the title for proposed initiative number 60 as it appears on the board.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2015-2016, number 61. And Mr. Rogers, you want to introduce yourself and the proponents?
Madam Chair, Thomas, or Trey Rogers, representing proponents Blake Harrison and John Grayson Robinson, both of whom are present today and have completed their affidavits. For the record, I'll just repeat some of what I said before. Proposed initiative 61 is substantially identical to proposed initiative 52, which the board has considered at a hearing and a rehearing previously. The single substantive change is the removal of an exemption for food store licensees from the minimum distance from school requirements in current law. Because a substantially identical, except in that one respect, measure has already been thoroughly reviewed at a hearing and a rehearing, and the title set for 52 is essentially the staff draft with the single required change. While proponents would make some changes, we do not intend to put the board, proponents or opponents, through the process again, and with the incorporation of the comments in the record with regard to 52, we'd be fine with the adoption of the staff draft.
Okay. So for the record, we will incorporate the board's comments from proposed initiative 2015-2016, number 52, with the change Mr. Rogers has indicated. It is otherwise substantially similar. And are there any other comments from the board?
I don't think so. Should we make a finding a single subject?
Yes.
Let's do that. I move that proposed initiative number 61 constitutes a single subject and we proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That takes us to the language, which this one, again, the language that has been taken out of the staff draft is reads, if granted to sell full strength beer and wine, regardless of the food store's proximity to a school. That's the only change made between the two staff drafts.
And Stephen, you have a percentage sign, I think, in the previous and elsewhere in this title, we use the word percent. So I just suggest you put that change in. No, I think it should all be spelled out as it was in the previous one.
I don't think that's how it ended up looking in the previous,
one. I used a percentage sign. So
oh, it did?
The board would
well,
like
as long
to
as we're consistent,
that.
I just want it to be consistent.
No, we can deal with it next time. Let's just
have the 3-2 reference in the other one, so there's no inconsistency with it. But now 60 would be inconsistent with 61.
Yeah, let's put the percentage sign in. Up top, too, on one, maybe. And then if we want to change them next time, we can do it whole cloth.
If there's a next time.
Right, sure. Okay. Whenever you say.
Who knows? You never know.
So is this now consistent? Could you just put number 60 up there, Stephen? So we're using the percentage sign here.
I don't think 60 had any reference to 3-2, did it?
No, but it had a reference to 25%.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
No, and it actually it does have a 3-2 reference.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because in terms of those licensees being able to apply for the food store license.
Right. Well, let's do 61, and then we'll go back to 60.
Okay.
Do the change if that's what we want to do. What's your preference? You like it spelled out, or you want the sign?
I don't think I have a preference as long as it's consistent, but the proponent can state a preference, and I'd be happy to defer to him. I know this is a picayune detail, but I guess we better get it consistent on there.
I don't really have a preference. They should be consistent.
Okay. Well, it's less ink, so let's just do the sign for now.
Okay. Then I would move the changes on lines 1, 5, 7, and 10 as reflected on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any other comments?
I move that we adopt the title for proposed initiative number 61 as it appears on the screen.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. We'll probably need a motion to go back to 60.
Motion for reconsideration.
Yes. well, or we can do it next time.
Oh, that's true. Why don't we clean it up now?
Okay.
I agree.
Then you want to move to reconsider? Let's clean it up, and then you can do the reconsideration. So that concludes number 61, and we're now going back to proposed initiative 2015-2016, number 60.
I move to reopen that title to correct typographical errors.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right. So for the record, we're making changes to the word percent to a percentage sign. And I think we only did that on one line, Stephen, or two? Two lines? Line 4 and line 6, right?
Correct. The original change that the board made was on line 4. We're revisiting for line 6.
Line 6. Okay. So this would just be a change on line 6.
Okay. I move the change on line 6.
All those in favor?
Oh, you need a second.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That passes unanimously.
So then I think we have to adopt the title for number 60 as it currently appears on the screen.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
That's unanimous. All right.
Okay.
That concludes our agenda. And the time is 2:20.